I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Today's episode is a bonus episode from when I was a guest on Mark Champagne's podcast, Behind the Human. I hope you enjoy it, and please make sure to tune in on Monday for the next episode of The Kara Golden Show. Have a great weekend.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Behind the Human. I'm your host, Mark Champagne, and it is my job to unpack the stories and mental fitness practices of people living at the top of their game, personally and professionally. Today, I'm here with Kara Golden, who is the founder and CEO of Hint, best known for its award-winning Hint Water, the leading unsweetened flavored water, which is fantastic. I blew through a case of this recently. She has received numerous accolades, including being named EY Entrepreneur of the Year and one of InStyle's Badass 50. She hosts the podcast, The Kara Golden Show, and also recently released her first book, Undaunted, Overcoming Doubts and Doubters, which is now a Wall Street Journal and Amazon bestseller. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I am excited. I've been diving into your book, and it's just, first of all, I love the size of the chapters, because I feel like, you know, it's either been my morning read or my evening kind of wind down read, and it just puts my mind in a perfect place. So a personal thanks for that. And before we get into you, the book, your story, your work, I would just love to know who you are. Everyone gets this question. Just who are you? What defines
who
you
am
as we speak now?
Great question. Well, I'm Kara Golden, and I started out actually as a tech executive and decided after a good run in tech that what I was really most interested in was health. And I never really articulated that or defined it, but found when I was actually starting my family, I had three kids under the age of four at the time, that I was really thinking about, okay, what am I putting in their body? And I think one day I woke up and thought, gosh, maybe I should also think about, you know, my own like health issues. And
sure.
And I had gained a bunch of weight over the course of many pregnancies. I was a competitive athlete growing up, knew how to train, knew how to eat, but somewhere along the way just got, you know, lazy and really had fallen kind of prey to what I term now as healthy perception versus healthy reality and, you know, the food and beverage industry. And so one day when I was reading through labels, which I had gotten really good at when I was looking at not only ingredients, but calories and my food, that's when I looked at my diet soda, Diet Coke in particular. This was a little over 16 years ago now. And saw that there were a lot of things in there that I was putting in my body that I just didn't really even know what I was doing. I think I knew more about what I was putting in my car than what I was putting in my body. And I had this aha moment thinking, gosh, I don't know that I would feed my kids this. Why am I feeding myself this? And that's when I decided to do a little test and take the Diet Coke away and start drinking plain water. And that's when I had this other aha moment where I knew I was supposed to drink more water, but I just never did because water was just super boring. So I started slicing up fruit and throwing it in the water to make it, you know, taste better. And it was interesting because I had basically given up on trying to get healthy. I thought, well, this is just the way it is. As I grow older, you know, it's just harder to lose weight. All, you know, maybe hormone imbalance. I don't know. Like all these things.
But you're being told that too, right? For just to set some context for the listeners, like you were, first of all, we're not talking about one Diet Coke. There were several per day. And I think at one point you had physicians or MDs telling you that, okay, you need to explore like hormone therapy or different medications for resetting your hormones. I mean, had you not stepped back, like, the majority of the population is like, okay, I guess this is what I have to do.
Well, and I guess that's what's so interesting is that we just really believe, right? I think as consumers, we believe that there's, you know, lots of testing behind it, that someone's watching. And for me, the word diet in particular meant health. And meant better for me, certainly better than regular full-fledged soda. So I never really questioned it. And anyway, when I did the swap 2.5 weeks later, I lost over 20 pounds. I had developed terrible adult acne that I didn't even necessarily put the two together, like the weight and the skin issues until I did the swap and my skin cleared up. I lost the weight and my energy levels went up. And that's when I really started thinking about how I was, you know, again, a successful, smart executive, yet.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years. Helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. Thinking about what's for dinner, but you haven't had a minute to even think about it before now? Well, let's not make that mistake again. I have a tip for you. Factor. Stress-free, delicious, ready-to-eat meals, just perfect for spring and summer yumminess. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, keto, vegan, veggie, or calorie smart. Factor has you covered. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, too, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch choices. Snacks and beverages now, too. Stay fueled and feel good all day long with whatever they are creating over at Factor for you. And the best part, each meal is ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. And who wouldn't want that? Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Get started today and fuel up for your spring and summer goals. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/golden50 and use code golden50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Not so smart about my own health, which I think, frankly, is the case for so many people. And so that's when I thought, gosh, if I could share this with lots of people, then I could help a lot of people. And that's when one day I thought, maybe I'll just go to Whole Foods. Whole Foods had just opened up in San Francisco where I live, and maybe I'll go to Whole Foods and see if I can get a product on the shelf that is just water with fruit. Because the other thing is that when I used to go and buy my 6 packs or 12 packs of Diet Coke, it was really easy. It was convenient. And what I figured out when I went and looked at everything for sale on the shelf was that it just had lots of stuff in it. And I just wanted fruit and water. I didn't want, you know, the preservatives. I didn't want the sweeteners, even diet sweeteners in it. And so, you know, that was really kind of jumping ahead a little bit. But I mean, that was really kind of where I saw maybe, you know, this fork in the road where... Okay. And while I used to define myself and many other people define me as a successful tech executive, that's when I thought, I want to do something that I'm really passionate about. I was passionate about tech, but if I could actually help people and, and, you know, do something that is really going to help them live longer, stay healthy, enjoy what they do, enjoy their families, all of these things, then that would be pretty awesome. So I would say that my definition of me today is probably, you know, somebody that really does want to help. And that's extended obviously into other products beyond the water and also my book as well. Yeah. So my main reason for writing that was also just to help people get unstuck or know that they could do it if they really set their mind to it.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about that, because I feel like there are two other through lines that I've noticed just reading about your tech world and obviously all your work with Hint and just, I feel like you as a person, there are two characteristics that I see coming up over and over again. And that's just this heightened sense or this passion towards curiosity and courage. I think like in those two mixed together in some way, it might've taken longer on the personal health side of things, but ultimately, you know, you've started asking questions and you were curious about, you know, what the hell was going on. And then had the courage to actually go and pursue a brand new business, right?
Yeah.
Right? Baby on the way.
Yeah.
And
my fourth child on the way. And Justin, yeah. And you know, it's interesting. I've thought a lot about this, you know, over the years. But I think the thing about tech that is really different than maybe other industries is that I would say that if you talk to anybody in tech, how they think about things is let's launch something, let's get it out the door, and there'll be an upgrade. There'll be 2.0. So you're never done, right? Yeah. You're always launching something. I mean, Elon Musk is, you know, putting something into space, but you know, there's another one that is already like, let's get that up there. Let's take some learnings from it. And then let's keep adding on to it and keep moving forward versus the food and beverage industry is let's launch this beautiful thing and let's see whether or not it's successful. And if it's not successful, then we kill it.
Yeah.
right? And so there's true. Just, I mean, and so for me, I didn't even get it when I went into the tech in, or when I went from the tech industry into the beverage industry. I just, what I knew was that I wanted to do something that I wanted to share something about this like aha thing that I had discovered. But again, I knew that I could help a lot of other people, but I think that my curiosity definitely enabled me to go and ask questions. But I also have to say that I got kind of a kick out of, you know, this idea that I wasn't actually the most knowledgeable person in the room. I think that even looking back at, I was at America Online prior to starting my company, Hint, and I really enjoyed it, had been through a hockey stick. You know, it was very exciting to help it grow. It was $1 billion in e-commerce revenue that I helped lead. And I think for me, it was, I got kind of tired of always mentoring and managing, which it's something that I talk about a lot throughout, you know, my interviews and also throughout my book, is that it's just that if you're not in a position, you can do all of that. You can mentor and manage, but if you're not in a position where you're actually learning yourself and putting yourself sure. into those vulnerable positions, then you get a little bored. You get cranky. You get tired. Whatever it is that is, you know, the sort of, you know, that's how you feel after you're getting in this situation. And yet nobody really talks about those things, right?
Yeah, instead,
they talk about go be a manager, go be, you know, a VP or a CEO, but they don't talk about, okay, you've achieved a certain thing. Now go down to the bottom again. It's hard to go down to the bottom in your own industry because you're so knowledgeable, right? And you're great at yeah. mentoring and managing. But instead, when you jump over into a different industry that you're curious about, you can actually take some of those skills that you've learned in another industry and come over and listen and learn and be the student again, which again, I mean, it was truly by accident, but I think that that's what I was so excited to sort of put myself into that position. And I encourage everybody to do the same if they have an opportunity to do so.
Is there a balance of that, you know, putting yourself out there, being vulnerable, starting something completely brand new? Cause that's a big thing or big task to take on mentally, financially, in all capacity. But is there a balance of that and the stability part or certainty part in your life? Were you thinking of those things, or did you have elements like that in your life that could balance them out, or was it just like all in on X?
It's a great question, because I feel people were kind of worried that I was going and doing something kind of crazy, right? They were like, wait, what? What happened? And I said, nothing really happened. I'm just really curious about this. And I think I've got great ideas to go and potentially solve this issue and help a lot of people. And I kept thinking that if it didn't work out, I could always go back to being a tech executive. I think it's something that people forget about, right? That if you're really considered great at something, that doesn't mean that you can't take a break or you can't go and figure out why you really love something, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's the concept of, you know, go set me free for a little while and maybe I'll come back kind of thing. Right. Yeah. And it's just, and I kept thinking that about my industry, that maybe I needed to take a break. Maybe I didn't like what I was doing. Maybe I loved what I was doing, but I just needed to go and explore and figure out how much I loved it. And so yeah. I think when you think about new ventures in that way, it puts you at ease, right? Like mentally, you get yourself into that mindset that I'm going to go try this for a while. Maybe you actually need to set a timeline, but then what you realize is that you know, you're smiling every day, you're engaged, your curiosity is, you know, it's hard. It's not that it isn't hard stuff, but I think as long as you are learning along the way and appreciating and feeling that you're getting traction, then, you know, you sort of put yourself at ease a little bit to think, okay, maybe I could go back. And that was another reason why I really wanted to get this book out there too, that it's just, it takes a lot of courage to get going. But, yeah, you know, if you don't, it often, if you think too much about the end, then you'll never get started. Right.
So, and it's true.
Right. And so you just have to kind of take a couple of steps. I always tell people, it's like, it's not that you don't think about the overall goal, but you set the goal and then you sort of park it, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you hide it in a box somewhere, that this is where I really want to be going. But think about today, just a couple of those things that you need to do in order to, you know, feel like you're making some kind of progress on it.
Yeah.
So that was really kind of my mindset along the way. And always sort of maybe in the other camp was thinking, you know, if I'm not making progress multiple days in a row, then maybe I stop, right? Maybe I go back to tech. But I think that what I realized is that I was making progress. And you know, and I think that's another piece too, that you're always going to have setbacks along the way, but you have to kind of celebrate your little wins along the way too. Because if you don't, those setbacks, you know, and failures, challenges, however you want to think about them, they can seem really, really big and daunting and sort of, you know, get you thinking, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I had interviewed Scott Belsky from Adobe a while back when he had written The Messy Middle. Mm-hmm. And he coined it as mental gymnastics, kind of taking those little micro moments, like what you're talking about, and celebrating the smallest of wins, right?
Totally. You know,
I think their example was at the beginning when he was running Behance, they were a typo in Google. It would always autocorrect to Enhance and said, you know, maybe one day we won't be a typo. And like, that was the motivator to keep going. And then they would celebrate these wins, right? And I just, it just makes me think of all the reframing that you've done. And there's a really awesome question that I resonate with in the book. And I think it was around this time frame. And it's, I think you just asked something like, you know, like, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I do that. Yeah. And I do that all the time. I mean, I still do that. And, in fact, I was telling my son, who's in college, and he was thinking about what he ultimately wanted to do. And I was like, you know, giving him the exact same advice, that you've just got to take steps forward and you got to, you know, keep appreciating what you love doing. And, you know, the beauty is that you can change, right? You can change what you're doing. I mean, I think that so often we think like, oh, you know, I've got to go and take on this major or go to this job. I always thought that if I didn't love what I was doing every single day, or appreciate it, if I wasn't learning all of these different aspects about what I wanted to be doing, then that's when I made the change. And that's what, but until then, you know, it's just, don't make things so daunting that you cannot move forward. Instead, just try and figure out, you know, what are those ways that you're, you know, going to enjoy what you're doing and make progress.
Love it.
Hey, Kara here. We are thrilled you are listening with us, and I hope you're enjoying this episode. I've had the pleasure of interviewing so many amazing guests over the past few years, and there are so many more to come. I cannot wait. And my focus is on entrepreneurs and CEOs, real innovators and leaders who are making a difference. That's what I'm looking forward to bringing you. One of the reasons I enjoy interviewing many of my guests is that I get to learn. We all need to hear stories that teach us to be better, inspire us, and help us get through those challenging moments. I can't remember the last time I had a guest that didn't leave me feeling like a major hurdle had been overcome. We just don't hear these stories enough. And when we do, we learn to be smarter and stronger. Don't you agree?
Episodes are concise but packed with amazing info that you will surely be inspired by. Do me a favor and send me a DM and tell me what you think about each interview that you get a chance to be inspired by. And if you are so inclined, please leave one of those 5-star reviews for The Kara Golden Show on one of your favorite podcast platforms as well. Reviews really, really help. Now, let's get back to this episode.
So how does it feel? Because why don't you should share your personal story with the Wall Street Journal. I know you've got quite a deep connection with that journal. So how does it feel to be a bestseller on a Wall Street Journal list? I mean, that must be unbelievable.
Pretty crazy. So I was, when I was in college, that was for the first time that I had ever, I mean, I knew what the Wall Street Journal was, but I never imagined ever opening up a Wall Street Journal and reading it until I was in college and I was taking some finance classes. I was a minor in finance, which I always talk on college campuses about this, that when I was at school, I was a journalism major. And for me, journalism and writing and communications it wasn't always easy, but it was easier. And it seemed very natural to me. And I was curious about it. And, I love to write and all of that. And some of my friends were taking finance classes. And I thought, I don't understand anything you guys are talking about. So maybe I'm going to take some classes in order to learn some things. Well, that ended up parlaying into getting a minor in finance. And then I found myself in hot water that I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm in these classes. There's no drop time left to, get out of these courses. And instead, I had to really figure out how do I, get through these classes. And that's when a professor said to me, you should read the Wall Street Journal every single day. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's just going to make my life even harder. Yeah. Why would I do that? And so he said, there's two magazines that are two publications that you should get subscriptions to. You should get Fortune Magazine and also the Wall Street Journal. And so the Wall Street Journal, I never had time to read it, it seemed like, and I would keep stacks and stacks in my apartment. And I had a couple of roommates and they would laugh because there would be outside our front door, there would be stacks of Wall Street Journals. And I'm like, don't throw them away. I'm going to read them this weekend. And then I never would. So yeah. It was, and so one day, one of the funny stories, many, many funny stories, but one day they decided to wallpaper my room with Wall Street Journal. So I would read them. Yeah, that's the roommates I had. And it was pretty funny. And we, and so that's when, I read them a little bit at night. It was, I gained a lot of appreciation because I thought it was really great advice. Once you start immersing yourself in something hard, you do understand that maybe you have to go a little bit slower. Maybe you have to, maybe it's not as easy for you. But I think when you look back on how daunting it was, I mean, now to this day, I read the Wall Street Journal almost every day. And, I'll skim it. I don't read it, corner to corner of the publication. But I think it's just a story of don't allow things that you're afraid of to prevent you from taking those things on. Yeah. And I think that that's something that, is really just a life lesson.
Yeah. I love it. It's, and we can go in so many different ways, especially with magazines and companies. You have so many crazy stories about your job, your first jobs, but we'll save that for a part two one time. Cause I would love to start to get to know a little bit more into your mental fitness and your practices, because I think probably the listeners can pick up you seem like a very reflective person by nature. You're definitely asking really powerful questions and you're curious and whatnot. But I'm wondering, what have been some of the non-negotiables in your life when it comes to slowing down and thinking, and thought process? What comes to mind right now, though, just I have to share this one, is I have this mental image, because I think I just read this one on the weekend, where you're taking a long weekend with your husband and driving down the coast in a convertible with whiteboards sticking out of the back, which I'm sure.
Too much.
Yeah, too much. But I made me think, like, okay, you're mapping things out and that's kind of how your mind works. But, please share, obviously, what works for you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm clearly a very visual learner. And so for me, when I'm really have to think about something and think, you know, especially if it's something that is really challenging to me and hard, that I think for me, it's about sketching them out. So it's still, you know, kind of pen to paper, and I'll just sit there and start, you know, drawing and doodling and thinking about things. And so, I mean, I think that that's part of it, especially, you know, it doesn't even have to be a business problem or like a, it could be, you know, sort of a life problem. I mean, I'm really kind of mapping out steps along the way in order to, you know, try and figure out how that makes sense to move forward. But I think also just putting myself into a position every single day that I'm able to kind of move forward too. Like I, you know, I work out every single morning. If I don't, I'm a bit of a mess, because I think for me, it's really about starting, you know, my brain in the right way and breathing in lots of oxygen. I live in a place where I, you know, have lots of trees for me and life, and, you know, there's lots of wildlife. Like those kind of things are really, you know, frankly, I think underestimated for people, that they, it certainly was underestimated for me. Even growing up in Arizona, I didn't realize how much I really missed that when I, you know, lived in a big city and then ended up moving out to Marin County where I live now, where, you know, it's just, it's a different kind of geography than the desert, which I grew up in, but it's, but it doesn't matter to me whether it's trees or desert. It's really just kind of, you know, topography in some way that has life and that I'm able to see that. So I think that those are, you know, key things for my own mental health. But I would say that, you know, those are probably the, those are key things. And then I would just say the third one is really surrounding myself with people that are curious people too. And they don't have to believe exactly what I believe, but I think that opens it up for more and more learning as well.
Yeah, the dialogue's there.
Definitely. Yeah,
that's interesting. I resonate with just the, you know, nature and connecting back to nature and whatnot. I had told you I live just outside of Toronto, and we used to live in Toronto, right, kind of in the core, and we're about 2 hours now north of the city in a ski town, essentially. So full of nature and mountains for at least for the East Coast. But I would love to just, given you've lived in big cities yourself as well, and a lot of the listeners that are on the other side of this do, like, were any suggestions on how to find some of that stillness, or I guess that quietness of the mind or reflective time if you're living in New York or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, I think you can always find it in places. I mean, you mentioned New York as a, you know, example. I mean, there's Central Park, right? Where you can, you can always find a place. Like it, it might be a little bit more difficult, but instead of actually thinking, you know, it's not here at all, you know, instead of asking yourself, what can you do? Maybe it's, what can I find? Right. And try and figure out that. How do you put yourself into that mindset? And when you think about it, that kind of satisfies your curiosity too, because it puts yourself into a place where, you know, maybe you initially think that you can't, or that something's not there. And then you go and set yourself on a path to trying to figure out where it's at. So I think that that's like another, it's sort of a mind challenge too. Whenever I find myself, you know, searching for a product or a place or whatever, I finally think about the fact that it has to be here, and I just have to figure out what it is. And instead of actually saying that it's not, not anywhere around here and it can't be here. And I mean, it's kind of the same, I don't know if this makes sense, but it's sort of the same as kind of giving up, right? As, you know, so many people think about, not starting a company, or, you know, not starting a podcast, or, you know, whatever it is, or not writing a book because they think about all the barriers, right? And instead, mm-hmm. I think that if it might be a little bit more challenging to do the things that you want to do, but instead of actually saying you can't, figure out what you can do and figure out how you can do it. It might not be perfect. It might not be exactly what you were envisioning, but just trying to figure out how you can do something and, you know, not staying complacent too is sort of, you know, it's all in kind of the fun of it.
Yeah. Love it. I'll move on from this topic in a minute, but I definitely need to get a few of your reflective questions. I mean, you've provided a few, but if there are any questions that you find yourself either journaling on or thinking about during walks or whatever, like that are frequent in your life or during big life-changing events, like what kind of questions pop up for you?
Questions. I mean, you know, I think if you really start every day with thinking about what am I going to learn today? And kind of so often we start our day naturally with thinking, okay, what do I need to do today? You can actually turn that around and think about what am I going to go learn today? And sometimes they're the same things, but it's just it sets your brain headed in the right direction. Like you get excited about going and learning about things. Like maybe you've got a meeting, right? You're going to go and figure out what are those things that I'm going to learn today in that meeting. And then reflecting back on those things and figuring out, I think so often when we have a mindset that we want to go learn something too, we end up learning more or something different than, you know, versus actually looking at things like a, you know, kind of a task or a, you know, something that we don't want to do. So I think that that's something that I think a lot about on a daily basis. And, you know, and I think more than anything, also trying to figure out how to help people get to a place where they do move forward. And because I really think that this concept of learning is something that I didn't get until, you know, much later in life.
Sure.
And that I thought, you know, you go to school and you master that, and then you go get a job and you make money, right? And that was that was it. But instead, thinking about, okay, how am I going to keep learning? And I don't think a lot of people think about that. Instead, they think, you know, how do I climb the mountain? But they don't think about maybe I need to go back a few steps and learn some things in order to, you know, continue growing in some way. And when I think about learning and growing, I really think that, you know, those things add to mental happiness as well, because you're challenging yourself and you're learning every single day. Yet I think that that seems to be the piece that is missing for so many.
Well, I think, I mean, again, just this is just my personal experience or take on it or opinion, I guess you could say, is that you spend a good part of your early life accumulating, like knowledge and titles and jobs and things and all of that. And then there comes a point, and I think it's different for everyone, but there comes a point where you flip into like an editing mode of your life. And this terminology, I'm not coming up with this. This is from Chip Conley, a conversation with him at one point, but it makes sense in the sense that you start living more intentionally and like, okay, this is where I want to go. And then I guess to your point of learning, you start seeking the knowledge that really fills that gap or where you're at in your life versus just like a water hose of knowledge in your face, right?
Yeah, totally. And I think that it's also, I mean, you mentioned Chip. I've met him a couple of times many, many years ago, but very successful person, has done incredibly, you know, great things. But that's a person that is leading his life of learning, right? And doing things that, you know, frankly, might seem a little different, odd, whatever, like considering his experience.
So true.
Right. And yet seems quite happy doing it, right? And he's always learning about new things and challenging himself. I mean, he's a perfect example of somebody that is practicing, you know, this stuff. And I think that there's so much that if we take a moment to kind of look back on, you know, people that have sort of lived the life that they're supposed to be leading, but then, you know, chapter two was something, you know, a little bit different. I think it's just, those really are kind of the happier people, and not just happy, like, you know, put a smile on your face, but really kind of leading this life of truly being, you know, you consider them a very happy person, not to say that they don't have challenges or, you know, dealing with, you know, whatever along the way. But, I mean, I think Richard Branson is another one, right? That I think it's, he's somebody that I've never met, but I've talked to friends who have, you know, been to Necker Island and, you know, just hearing stories about just hanging out there. I mean, he just enjoys that, right? And he enjoys being there, and he enjoys learning and being around people. And it's not like, you know, come to my resort and I'm just going to sit in a, you know, another room. I mean, he's actually there and being around other people and wanting to learn from them and what they're doing and how they're thinking about the thing. So again, I think a lot about those people every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point and really good link with learning. What related to your book and writing the book, I guess, what surprised you or what did you learn just going through the process of essentially putting your life out on these pages?
Yeah. Well, I think that I knew the book would be great for entrepreneurs and, you know, probably female entrepreneurs as well. And, you know, maybe college students who are thinking about, okay, I guess I can really go get a job and what I should be thinking about. But probably the most surprising thing for me about the book is that I've heard from so many executives who have never been entrepreneurs, who are, you know, kind of thinking about their own life. Maybe even, you know, the pandemic kind of made these people even think differently than if we wouldn't have had a pandemic, right? That they're thinking about, okay, now what am I doing next? Or do I still want to be doing what I'm doing? And those people reaching out to me saying how this book really affected them and how it kind of reset them and made them start to think. It's not that they necessarily want to go even start a company. It's really thinking about, do I actually step into my fears? Do I, you know, consider myself any challenges or kind of things that I'm sort of hiding in the closet about myself? Maybe I actually instead should take those as learnings, own them, and then, you know, figure out how to move forward. And I think it's really exciting and to hear from so many people that is what they're getting out of the book, because again, that wasn't my intent in writing it, but it certainly has messages for people who are not entrepreneurs as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I probably don't fall into any of the categories that you described. And I know for myself, I put it down, like I shared, I read it in the morning and the evening because I know the mental state I'll be in when I put it down. And there's, it causes, for me at least, it causes curiosity or causes that like stop and read and, wow, that was an interesting way she did that or thought about that. And then you start applying that to your own life and, you know, it sparks ideas. So, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Because you've been a part of my mental fitness and routine. And I highly encourage everyone to check out your work, the book, everything you're up to. You're doing such awesome out there. Thank you for that. Are there any other kind of final words or places that you would like to direct people to?
Well, as you and I were discussing a little bit, I have a podcast that I actually interview other founders and entrepreneurs on. It's called The Kara Golden Show. It's been a lot of fun. We've been doing it for 3 years. It's now every Monday and Wednesday. And so what I really like to get out there for people is you mentioned a few people like Chip Conley. I haven't had Chip on yet, but I would love to have him on as well. But it's just talking about people's journeys, because I think so often we, you know, hear, oh, that person is the founder or maybe the CEO of this company and they're really successful. And instead, what I've always felt is that there's so many stories along the way. Like, how did they get here? Did they end up, were they going right? And then they figured out, oh, I actually should be going left. And, or did they have, you know, monumental things along the way that really, you know, kind of rebooted them in some way and brought humility, humanity, all these different things in. And so it's a great, it's not my stories. It's mm-hmm. really, I always weave in sort of, you know, different examples in my own life, how maybe there's some similarity, but more than anything, what I realized is that the most honest, the most authentic people out there are also oftentimes, you know, great leaders. And I want to get those stories out there as much as possible because I think we can all learn from them.
Love it. Well, I will definitely link to all of that in the show notes. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you, Kara. I mean, again, thank you personally for your work and coming on the show. But another huge thank you, I think a higher thank you, I should say, related to just you dedicating your energy and a lot of your work to helping others and changing the lives of others. And I imagine saving lives as well, just through your words and through your company and, you know, all the health initiatives and all of that. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. So, and of course, pick up a case of Hint and yes. if you haven't tried it. And
so good.
Yeah,
it really is a hint.
Good. Yeah, just a hint. And hopefully you'll get a chance to listen to my book or it's on Audible. You and I were chatting about, I read the book as well. So that was a lot of fun. And or pick up a copy of the book and I'd love to hear from you.
Amazing.
Before we sign off, I want to talk to you about fear. People like to talk about fearless leaders, but achieving big goals isn't about fearlessness. Successful leaders recognize their fears and decide to deal with them head on in order to move forward. This is where my new book, Undaunted, comes in. This book is designed for anyone who wants to succeed in the face of fear, overcome doubts, and live a little undaunted. Order your copy today at undauntedthebook.com and learn how to look your doubts and doubters in the eye and achieve your dreams. For a limited time, you'll also receive a free case of Hint Water. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Send me a tweet at Kara Golden and let me know. And if you like what you heard, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Thanks for listening.